Welcome to another edition of TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We can take your questions tonight via our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, also our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com. Later on in the program, Attica Raceway Park's three-time 305 track champion Nate Dussel is going to talk to us about some of the changes we've seen in that division and his long-term success. He's really been good in that division, and it's a very deep and talented division. So we want to hear what Nate has to say. And also, Darren Long is going to have his exit interview with us after announcing his retirement over the weekend. But we're going to kick off the show with the winner of this year's Payless Little 500. He also won Saturday night at the Berlin Raceway, and Jacob Wilson making some time for us on this Monday evening. Jacob, thank you for taking time out for us.
Hey, no problem. I wouldn't be anywhere else right now. It's Monday night, and nowhere else I'd rather be.
Yeah, that's a good way to be, so that's pretty awesome. Let's start with Saturday night. You had quite a race with Troy Decaire, going back and forth, managing to pull off the last-moment victory there at Berlin. Why don't you take us through the race with Decaire after JoJo Helberg has problems in your race for the lead with him?
Oh, yeah, it was a heck of a race for me. It was one of those where I actually had a good jump on Troy on that restart, and Troy's tough to pass anytime, let alone by himself. So we actually had a good jump, but didn't get the pass made. But in lap traffic, we ended up getting handled well, and actually got him and picked him off. But we actually had a couple of pass swaps there, going three and four in and out. I mean, it was a fun race. It was one that actually put on a great show for the fans. I'm just happy to actually pull off the last race of the year and be in the winner's circle with the crew I had. It was great.
And I saw you mention something on social media earlier in the day about the little engine that could. So why don't you explain a little bit about that and what was going on there?
Oh, yeah, the little engine that could. It's actually our little 500 motor. We don't want to run it anything but the little 5, but it happens to be that we actually we popped a few motors this year. And we have our big wing motor, which hasn't been reliable at all. And this is actually, I think it was our fourth time changing motors at the track, 4 out of 5 races. And it gets frustrating, but with a crew like I have, we're swapping them out in 10 minutes. I mean, it's almost like a World of Outlaws crew over there, but on the pavement side. And we swapped those out, and that little engine that could, it actually ran like a beast. I mean, that thing it was a stunt puller that night. It actually ran great for me.
Well, that's a pretty neat story. And you did have some really good highlights so far this year. You picked up your first must-see win there at Anderson with the wing, and then you managed to back it up with the little 500 victory. So, well, you know, you don't see people pull off that double maybe ever. And on top of it, you guys won the little 500. What did it mean to you to pick off that big little 500 win?
I tell you what, it's one of those, even after, I think it's been, three, 4 months now, it still hasn't sank in yet. We're sitting around the race shop, and we'll talk, and somebody will stand up and say, hey, guess what? We won the little 500. We all stand up and start cheering. It's one of those that you never get over. It's actually the biggest pavement sprint car race there is, the biggest pavement race there is in my mind. It is one of those that very few people have it, and very few people did it like we did this year. I mean, coming out of that last pit stop, lap down in 7th place. We actually drove our way back, and my crew had the thing on lock all night. We actually, that last pit stop was 13 and a half seconds. It was an unreal night and an unreal way to end it. And actually, after it ended, it was one of those that still didn't sink in. It was just, that race is special, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Now I'll be a part of it next year and every year after that. It's amazing.
And it's a good way for you to finish off the year. You've actually had some pretty decent momentum when the cars run through the second half of the year. You guys have to feel pretty good going into next year.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those. We're actually carrying a lot of momentum, and we have a lot of momentum going to the team because we've actually found out a lot this year. We did a little bit of testing, a little bit of experimenting with things, and this wing series, the must-see racing wing series, it's actually best for experimenting because there's a lot of guys in it. A lot of money's coming to the series, and it's one of those that you can actually test, and now things are actually getting the drivers and the cars, everything's getting interesting, and it's it'll be neat to see what everybody comes up with. We're sitting 2 months out of the Mason-Dixie meltdown down there in North Carolina, Georgia area there, and it's going to be a fun time. It's just it'll be real interesting. Everybody has 2 months to actually cook on things and see what we end up with.
And that brings me to the next topic. There's some really radical aerodynamic things we're starting to see on the pavement side of the Wingspan car deal. Do you think they have to bring that into check, or is the cost of the race teams and such pretty minor to where it's not that big of a deal? What's your thought on that?
There's quite a few areas where it can be controlled, and the areas that can be controlled are being talked about. The aerodynamics are very, actually, primitive. I mean, it's one of those where it's not like IndyCar. I ran into lights for a bit there, and it's actually, everything's so in check to decide it's not anymore. But this is something new, and everybody gets to experiment with what they come up with. It's really neat to see what everybody comes up with. And as far as unit check, it's all pretty, the aerodynamics are pretty stable right now. I would say if there's areas to keep in check, it has to do with a different engine mechanism and that kind of thing. It's stuff that actually costs a lot more than the aerodynamics. I mean, making a fiberglass mold, making a body, it might cost you $150, but you can actually do anything you want with that.
And this is Jacob Wilson joining us. And what's the plan for your race team for the rest of the year? The must-see racing series is finished up for the year. You mentioned you're going to be going down to Kernland for the non-point race for the must-see series this November. But what plans do you have, other than that, possibly for the rest of the year?
The plan is to win every race. With my team, there's nothing that can stop us other than ourselves. And maybe a couple engine changes right now. It's one of those that we're going for everything. And we're going to be up in Angola Saturday or Sunday, I think that is, for the Haas race, and win that one, hopefully. And after that, we'll win every race we can go to. It's one of those, we're having a great year. We're having fun doing it. And that's why we're doing it, is we're having fun. And I hope we can actually represent our sponsors well and everybody has a good time.
And you're a guy that went from the non-wing deal to the winged pavement car. How much of a change was that for you as a driver when you first made that transition?
The change is actually pretty big. These wing guys, they're no slouches. There's actually a lot of good drivers in the series, and a lot of guys have been doing it for a while. The change is actually less of a change than the disappointment that there's not more non-wing stuff. I would rather be more non-wing stuff, but the change is welcome, seeing how it's still pavement racing. We'll actually race as they can, but hopefully we can get some more non-wing stuff scheduled and the wing stuff, and hopefully it keeps growing.
What do you think has to be done to get the non-wing part of it to grow? We see USSA trying to do some stuff at Anderson and maybe some other tracks. See Angola with a race here or two, and you see some spots where people are trying to do stuff. But what do you think it needs to grow at this point?
The USSA is doing great. I'm a family friends with the Kenyans. They're doing a great job. They're actually growing everything they can. The biggest problem there is USAC let it go until it actually ran down in the ground so far that nobody can recover it. And hopefully them building on it, growing cars, growing car counts, putting on great shows. I know the last show at Anderson, heck, they had 6 lead changes. It was a heck of a race. Hopefully the races like will actually grow the series to the point where we can actually get some more car count and go to places like Winchester and Salem again, the non-wing cars. Berlin, Michigan, the Michigan fans show up every time a non-wing car comes there, or an open wheel car, period. They always pack the house. It's just, we got to go to better venues. We actually have to promote the series a little more, and it'll go from there.
Jacob Wilson joining us. When we go talk about Little 500, we always like to ask the drivers kind of the same kind of questions. I have my bucket list of questions here. One of them is, when do you guys start preparing for that pit stop-wise? When do you start breaking out the practice for that?
This year is actually special. Usually we do a couple of run-throughs, this year my pit crew Saturday night, we had the A-team lined up. Well, turns out it got rained out, and we had a couple guys that had to go work Sunday, couldn't miss family obligations, so we brought in the guys that was like, you know what, let's go ahead and try it. So we did the practice pit stop on our first pit stop, which actually was a great pit stop. And our second one, we came in, and we did 30 gallons of fuel, 3 tires, and 13 and a half seconds. And these guys, none of them are professionals, all of them work in the county area around us from Ohio, just all pick up, come and join us for fun and have a great time. And we actually, luck has to play into it. I'd say we got lucky on many accounts, not only the fact that we finished the race, but the fact that we knocked all these pit stops out in record time. I mean, it was great to actually see the team setting the pace in the pits. That was nice.
That is nice to have, especially at that race. Jacob Wilson joining us. Now, here's a Brian Gerster said, I had to quiz you on your racing opinions because you have plenty of those, apparently. So I'm going to give you one to chew on a little bit. I'm a person that's always said the wing pavement side needs a Knoxville Nationals or Kokomo SmackDown esque type event. It's, to me, it's a brand of racing that has a lot of good events, but it needs like a premier event. If you could pick one racetrack that you think would fit that premier race where you could have a couple day show or something, what track would you think would fit that the best?
I mean, there's plenty of tracks. We actually put on a good show a lot of the places we go, but I'd have to go to Michigan, and you can go somewhere like Berlin. I mean, that was just this last weekend. I'm obviously biased because we had a heck of a run, but that track there, you can run three wide, and every night of the week you could run that. And the track is the same thing every time. Everybody could adjust to it. It would be a good show. I bet you could pull 45 cars if you run a three-night show up there. It'd be a great time.
And we could get everyone on the same page. I agree. That would make for an awesome venue for that. And you mentioned you've done some Indy Lights racing. You've done some Silver Crown stuff. Is there anything in your immediate future you might have where you might be doing more of that, maybe some more Silver Crown, some more of the rear-engine racing? Is there anything in the plans, in the near future for you to do some more of that?
Oh, yeah, Todd. We're going to run the Silver Crown again next year. And it's one of those that, once again, I'll be running for Rookie of the Year if I can actually compete in enough races. This will be my seventh year, so we'll be the veteran of the choice there. But, yeah, I would love to run some more Indy Lights stuff, some more Indy car stuff, whatever it holds in the car. I mean, Indy 500 is always where my dream has been, and I would love to win that race. Running it would be a consolation prize, but if we get in it, we're going to try to win that one, too. Anything we can get into, we have a great team, great sponsors behind us, family, everybody's behind us and actually supporting us immensely. And it's just nice to have a whole family team like that.
And you're a pretty active social media guy. I see you on Twitter quite a bit. And who's your favorite follow on Twitter? Who's your most entertaining follower that you have right now, person that you're following that people should probably look out for?
Oh, my favorite Twitter follow is actually pretty abstract. It's Pat McAfee, the Colts punter. He is out of control on that. He's a great guy to watch, great guy to listen to. And as well as you think, NFL punter, that's not going to be interesting. And he'll start watching, see what he's doing. And it's like, well, he hadn't swam in the Annapolis Canal for about a year now, but he's still a funny dude. So it's one of those. I have a great time. That one or Coach Murphy. And Coach Kent Murphy is a baseball coach. He has a great time.
All right. A couple of good people to follow there for Jacob Wilson. Well, congratulations on the win Saturday. Who knows? Maybe you can back it up with another one Sunday at Angola.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. We have a great team going up there, a lot of momentum, so we're going to get some great people with us and have a good time. Anybody that's in the area ought to come out because it's going to be a blast.
And that's a really neat racetrack. If you haven't been there, race fans, that's one of the neater places to go see those cars because they're really racy, and Jacob can probably attest to that.
I actually have not been there yet, but you know what? The first time there will be the best.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of a Higher Bank Kalamazoo, so it's going to be pretty. I think you'll like it. So,
so with three crews, we can do that.
Exactly. So, well, Jacob, best of luck with that the rest of the year, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again if you can pick up a couple more wins.
Hey, yeah, thank you, Tommy. Yeah, well, hopefully we at least have two or three races left in our schedule, and our tanks are half empty right now, but we can continue charging through that.
All righty. Jacob Wilson taking time out to join us. Thanks. Thank you, Jacob.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right, so that's Jacob Wilson. Great young kid. One of the great young drivers we've seen come into the wing pavement deal out of the Nowling Series has really made a good go of it, and it's great to have him and his family involved in the various wing pavement series, and he doesn't get involved with all the I'm not going to race here, I'm not going to race there. He's just going to race, and that's what we like the best. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Nate Dussel, but before that, don't forget that this Saturday, you're going to be able to see the Sprints on Dirt from Crystal Motor Speedway right here live with live video and live audio for free on racesontheweb.com. It'll be this Saturday night, the Sprints on Dirt, the third and final appearance for Sod at Crystal. You can also check out the MTS Sprint Cars, the Great Lakes Nationals on September 13th and 14th, live right here on racesontheweb.com. Nate Dussel, when we come back from the break, you're listening to TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season. Featuring the Core Pack Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest just won his third 305 Sprint Car Championship at Attica Raceway Park. So far, 11 feature wins this year for this gentleman, and he is going to be someone you're going to want to keep on your radar for national attention. He's one of the up-and-coming drivers in the Northern Ohio area. Nate Dussel takes some time out of his evening to join us. Nate, thank you for being on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, bud.
Well, first of all, three championships in a row. To me, that in that division is really an impressive stat. The 305 division in Attica is so deep, and you know, managing to win three championships, I can just congratulate you on that, because if, especially over the past couple of years, you've seen some really veteran drivers of the 410 division move back down and competing with you in that class.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big accomplishment to do it 3 years in a row. you really can't afford to have one bad night in that deal and still win it. And, you know, I don't think we've had a DNF at that place the last 3 years, so that says a lot about our maintenance program and the guys working on it. And, you know, like you said, you get like Paul Weaver and Bobby Clark to drop back down and deal that have a ton of experience. And then you got, you know, DJ Foos and Caleb Griff, you know, years past. And it's a tough deal for sure.
What do you think has been the biggest change over your tenure in the 305 class? Is it the influx of veterans, or is it maybe something with the cars that maybe has been the biggest change you've seen over since you started in the 305s?
Probably for me is just better equipment over the years. When we first started off, we were kind of just me and my dad got a little motor and just kind of made some laps, and Scott Gressman kind of saw that we just needed a little bit more help and help us get a better motor. And then guys like from Kistler and stuff start chipping in on helping us out with parts, and just more and more people every year kind of step up their game, and here we are with a pretty nice racing program.
In this year, one of my favorite stories of the year, unfortunately it wasn't one of yours, but you had a tree literally fall on your trailer in the middle of the season during a storm, and you somehow managed to make it to the racetrack that week.
That's a huge shout out to our buddy Bill Bear, who does unbelievable things for us during the week. You know, it's the jobs that are way out of our realm that are tough, and he's just an awesome fabricator. And he was there that night cutting a limb out of the trailer and pulling it to his house, and up till 9 o'clock, three nights in a row, putting a brand new roof on the thing, and we went and stood in Victory Lane Friday night, so that was pretty awesome.
That was still maybe one of my top five favorite stories of the year, because here you are on Twitter, and there's a tree literally laying on the trailer, and you guys go out and pick up the feature win. But you also had, like, lots of people offering you help after that, too, which shows a lot about you, especially when you're one of the top guns. You still had guys wanting to help you.
Yeah, I had three or four guys text me during the week that, you know, if you need a trailer, feel free to come over and get ours, and, you know, that's what's pretty cool about this racing deal. We're all a big family, and we're going to help each other out when things get tough.
And one other thing is, you have a very unique looking race car. The gentleman that cut up your tree, he's the one that fabricates the body for that thing, right?
Yeah, he starts it all from scratch. About November, it's just got cardboard hanging on it, and he whips it out in about 2 weeks. I wouldn't even know where to start, and he does an awesome job with that.
I always make fun of you of your 1985 Nance hood, but actually after the whole thing comes together, it is really sharp. It's one of the more unique-looking cars. Well, let's go to the obvious question. Every time when we start seeing 305 guys win, we ask, when are they going to take the move up to the 410 division? Is that something you're interested in even doing, because of there is quite a bit more work involved? Is that something your team would like to do with the right financial backing? Are you guys content right now with staying in the 305 class?
I mean, we're having a lot of fun doing what we're doing, but ultimately, yeah, I want to take the next step at some point here. You know, it's my confidence is all the way up, and I feel like this is a good time to make the jump. And, you know, we got a lot of help, and obviously you're going to need even more help when you move up to that deal, and you kind of got to change your perspective. But I think I've proven a lot in the 305, and maybe some owner out there will take a chance on me.
All right. And one thing you have managed to do this year is get into some 360 races with your own car and also in other people's cars. Why don't you tell us how that deal came about?
Well, I mean, that's a big credit to my brothers who, you know, build a good relationship with Ron Hammonds, and, you know, he had an extra car, and he kind of asked, after we started winning a little bit, he kind of wanted to know what I was doing, and wanted to know if I wanted to hop in a couple nights, and I said any night I have off, I'd, you know, be more than happy to hop in it. And, you know, we've had some success, can't tell you by the results, but, you know, we went down there first night at Lima and drew a crappy fill and passed a ton of cars, and then the driver ran out of town about halfway through the feature and spun out. But the second time down there, we ran, I think, top five, and then at Waynesfield and our own stuff, I feel like we were hard to beat all night, which, you know, pulling in there with, you know, some of the best 360 cars in this area and not backing down a bit and just, you know, not having really any luck on our side all night and still getting ourselves on the pole and being the fastest car there, I thought that was a huge confidence builder for us.
What was the biggest difference going to the 360 from your 305 car?
I mean, obviously the horsepower is a big difference. When I raced Ron's parts, it's got a motor with a ton of top end on it, so it's, you know, it's, it doesn't throw up quite like as easy as a 305 does, but at Waynesfield, we got to borrow Ron Blair's motor, and that thing throttled nice, but really didn't seem like that big of a difference because it throttled nice, so I could, you know, make sure that we kept the horsepower on the ground, and I think that's why we had so much success there.
When you talk about going to the 410 deal, is there anyone you've asked that has made that jump from 305 to 410 other than the brother? Who have you gone to talk about maybe some of the differences? Because from everyone I've talked to, it takes a lot more work during the week and stuff to be able to do that. Who are some people you've leaned on maybe to get some advice to go in that direction?
There's a lot of 305 guys that have made that jump the last couple of years. I'm good buddies with DJ and Caleb and Stuart Brubaker, and you know, I usually don't even let Craig Minsk out of his car before I start picking his brain, not, you know, per se on the 410 stuff, but just on, you know, I always keep in contact with Craig, and, you know, other than that, I mean, that's pretty much who I talk to. It's easy to go talk to the 305 guys that I've raced before, and, you know, they kind of try and coach me up, and Brian DeVito always talks to me about that stuff, too.
And one thing I noticed, and we were talking about this off the air, when I went to Knoxville this year, everyone was wanted to talk fast with me. And the Knoxville people and stuff were really fascinated with that Fremont Attica Sprint title program. And this year the 305 program's back, and you're leading that as well. What kind of a notoriety difference have you seen that fast has brought to your region of racing?
I mean, this kind of sucks because we don't really get as many races as the 410 deal, but I tell you what, those 10 nights, it's got your attention because, you know, it's pretty good money for us to win that title. And even aside from the money, it's pretty neat to be the best at, gotta be good at racetracks to win the deal. And, you know, it's hats off to Swamp and, you know, Porter and all those guys that put in that time and, you know, did what other people like to talk about. They went and did it, and it's turned into a pretty awesome deal.
So we're getting ready to wrap up the season. You're right now the champion at Attica. You are 2 points out at Fremont Speedway. Once those two things wrap up, what's the plan for Nate Dussel for the rest of the year?
I don't know. We kind of just putting out there that we're willing to do anything. You know, we've kind of talked about maybe the October show. Maybe there's the talk about the show being brought up, and that, you know, there's a couple of shows. If something comes up, we'll probably just run them and see what happens in the off season.
With the 305 division, the past few years, we've seen a lot of changes to the class, you know, over really the past 10 years. We've seen power steering come in, the aluminum wheels and stuff. Do you think the class should have stayed maybe manual steering and steel wheels, or is it easier for the teams to acquire used parts and such, with the rules being more like the 410 class?
I don't think that stuff's a big deal. You know, we should have did a better way of making the motors inexpensive for, you know, everyone to have a competitive engine, but, you know, the aluminum wheels and the power steering and all that stuff, it's like you said, it's accessible at the swap meets. There's good prices on the stuff, and, you know, it's all good stuff. And, they look more like sprint cars, and I think they're sometimes even more entertaining than the 410 deal late in the night. They're just as fast, so I think they've gone the right direction. It makes it more of a stepping stone to the 410 deal than what the Econo class used to be.
Nate Dussel joining us right now, and your brother raced for a very long time. What does he bring to your racing program? Do you ever lean on him very often? Because he's done a little bit of everything. What does he bring to the table for your racing program?
Yeah, I mean, both my brothers have so much experience. When I started, I took 4 years off between racing go-karts and sprint cars, and my parents just wanted me to learn from them guys, and, you know, I went to every race with them and kind of just listened to their conversations, learned the terminology a little bit. And, you know, like you said, Mike and Craig are huge. I get off the racetrack, they can tell me what the race car was doing before I can even think of it. And, you know, they're guys that pick me up when, you know, I'm getting down on myself, but they're also, you know, tell me I still need to stay focused when, you know, I start to get a big head over things. And there's not many people they're surrounded by people like I am. You know, I think that's why our learning curve was so much quicker than most. You know, Mike has always just gave me great advice, and Craig knows what he's doing on everything. So,
if you have like one extremely memorable racing moment or story with your brothers, what's one that comes to mind, or maybe the most memorable moment you had? Maybe something funny that happened or something goofy that happened on the way to the racetrack with the brothers.
Oh man, we have a lot of them, but probably I'd say the proudest moment was my brother won the King of the Quarter Mile a couple years ago. That was pretty awesome. You know, everyone knows him as the bottom feeder, and he usually tries to make that work, and he usually does, but he surprised us all by hopping to the top and just knocking the fence down for 8 straight laps. That was an awesome night, and probably the longest 8 laps I've ever watched in my life.
And that's one of the richest 8 laps in sprint car racing, too. That thing pays pretty decent.
Yeah, $3,000. It was well worth it.
All righty. So Nate Dussel joining us, and a lot of neat things going on there. What do you think? How do you think, you know, the Fremont thing playing out? You're gonna have to. You haven't had quite as good a luck at Fremont as you have at Attica, but you're right there in the hunt and right behind there in second place, only 2 points out of the lead.
Yeah, I think it's working out. If we can, you know, I don't want to go into how the average points deal works at Fremont, but if we would make the inversion and so would Ivy, we would step ahead of him. So, you know, he's going to have to chase us in the future. And we've been fast every night at Fremont. Like you said, we just had some bad luck. And one night I ran over a lap lead, and that's pretty much what's put me behind in points. But I got a ton of confidence in this car and the crew and everything, and I feel like we'll get it done.
All right, well, Nate, best of luck the rest of the season, and hopefully we get to see you take that next step, because I think your accomplishments speak for themselves, and hopefully someone agrees with me that has a much larger pocketbook.
I hope so, too.
All right, well, thanks for taking time out for joining us, and best of luck the rest of the year.
All right, thanks a lot, TJ. Thanks for having me.
All right, Nate Dussel joining us on the line. And the Dussel brothers are a couple of good people. I've known Mike for years, and Nate is very fun. Follow him on Twitter. He's very entertaining on there. He likes to interact with people, and gives a good look into the inside of his race team on there. He's very savvy with that, and we like people that have a good grip on the technology. So we're going to take another commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have some more interviews. This time, we are supposed to talk to Darren Long, which is going to be interesting. Darren announced his retirement over the weekend, so we're calling it his exit interview with us right after the break. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. Our final guest of the evening, and I think it's appropriate that this guy gets the final slot of the evening because we were joking off the air and we've joked on social media today that this is his exit interview as he announced his retirement from sprint car racing over the weekend. And Darren Long, it's been a heck of a ride over the past 15 years.
Oh, yeah, Daph. You know what? I don't have no complaints whatsoever. Exactly. It's been an awesome ride, and when I got started, I never even remotely considered doing the stuff, some of the stuff that I got to do through racing. So I have absolutely no complaints, no regrets, and completely at peace with my decision, and I'm very excited to see what is down the road, because I'm sure it'll be just as exciting as the last 15 years.
And that's kind of always been your outlook when I've talked to you. You're always one of the more upbeat guys I've ever talked to. You know, you'd mentioned, we were talking off the air, you had had a neck problem earlier, and it turns out you were starting to have some pain, and that has progressed to a point where you feel it's wise at this point to step out of the race car.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I said, I started having some, well, I'll go all the way back to 2009. I had, you know, some severe issues back in 2009 where my left arm just basically quit working. And after about 3 months of checking into it over the winter time, they figured out that it was just a herniated disc in my neck. So at that point, I had three, four, and five fused together. And then obviously, I've continued to race for three more years or four more years, whatever it's been. And then like this last February, when we was actually down in Florida, I just probably because I was sitting in the car, and just the way you're sitting in the car and the way you got to hold your head, I started having some right arm pain that would come and go, and then just over the course of since February, it's just gotten a little worse and a little worse and a little worse, where it just kind of burns all the time, and it depends on what I do at work or whatever, and then especially once I get out of the car, like Friday nights and Saturday nights, you know, it just hurts something fierce, and you don't sleep real well. So I, you know, went back to the doctor again and everything, and after doing some MRIs, they've discovered that I have another disc that's completely junk, basically, and then I might even have one of the fusions, which you won't really know for sure until you slices and dices on my neck and gets in there and checks it out, but one of my areas that's already fused together, I think maybe the fusion has broke itself loose, and then but the biggest problem right now is, which is why I've just stopped all operations effective immediately, is that I got a bone spur that's growing horizontal right into my spinal cord, and it's obviously not a good thing, and I, you know, to be excited about the next 15 years, I don't want to be in a wheelchair. I'm not an idiot, you know, so I just made it a pretty decision, and I just said that's it, because I'd already made the decision. I was quitting at the end of the year, but I was going to run about another 8 or 10 more races.
And after I got them two phone calls from two doctors in a 24-hour period last Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning, I just said, that's it. I'm done. I got hopefully more than half of my life to live yet. And like I said, it'll be just as exciting as the first half was, I'm pretty sure. So I'm going on down the road.
And let's go back. 15 years ago, what made you decide to get into sprint car racing?
Well, I'd actually started helping my cousins, Mark and Brad, back in 1993. I guess the winter of 93, I started helping them. And that first year, they actually, that I helped them, we would still run stock cars. And then the following year, they moved to sprint cars themselves. And, you know, I just sort of fell in love with the sport, honestly, through doing that and being around and getting to meet all the people and just the whole atmosphere at the racetrack and everything that goes on at the racetrack. You know, just, you know, it's just an awesome, it's an awesome thing to do. And then through that, you know, I was like, after working on them, I basically was like, working on them's all right. You know, you're a part of everything, but, you know, I want to take a stab at trying to drive one of these things someday. So I actually got into go-kart racing for about 3 years. And then in the winter of 98, I guess it would have been, my cousins, they decided they were going to quit. And one thing kind of led to another, and before I know it, I had already bought a couple of their cars and built a race shop, and we started racing. And that was been my first year. It had been 1999. And so I guess that's pretty much how I got started, was just being involved with them and then just, you know, definitely fall in love with the sport after I got involved with them and knowing that I wanted to take a stab at it myself and just got that burning desire to want to drive. And so I took action on it.
And that you did, and you went at it with quite a bit of gusto. You didn't stay on the front porch, so to speak. You guys have always, for some reason, been up for a road trip. Why has your team always had a propensity to travel? What's been the attraction of that?
Well, that's, I mean, a lot of that's probably me, because, you know, if I'm going to, I guess it might be a wrong theory, but my theory is if you're going to build a car to run locally, it don't cost a whole lot more to build a car. Well, it doesn't cost anymore. It costs the same amount to build a car to go to Lineland every Friday night, which is a mile and a half from my house, as it does to build that car to go to Knoxville, Iowa. Yeah, there's travel expense, but if you have the stuff that's already sitting there, and we've been fortunate enough that I've had awesome sponsors and the resources to do some traveling, so why not go and do it? Because I just have always had, it's a lot more exciting for me to travel and just and get that whole thing into it and go travel and go race somewhere else instead of going to the same place over and over and over and over. I just, it's just not mine. That's why I've never been a real good points racer or, I mean, even the last 3 or 4 years, I guess I haven't ran a Lineland every Friday night, but there from 99 till 2008 or whatever it was, I ran a Lineland every Friday night. And to be quite honest, I didn't really get a whole lot out of that. I mean, I was not forced to go there, but I went there because most of my sponsors here are locally and because all my guys that work on my race car right here and for work purposes. But I've just always enjoyed a lot more when we travel somewhere on Saturday or for a whole weekend. I don't know. And I can't pinpoint the exact reason, but it's just a lot more relaxing for me just to travel away and go somewhere else completely new and meet all new people and go to a racetrack I've never seen. It just enhances the whole adventure of it to me.
And you did some racing with the ASCS National Tour. When you do that as a driver, how does going on something like that make you a better race car driver when you come back home?
I'd say the biggest thing is it just increases your focus. It increases your focus and your aggression every time you're on the racetrack. I mean, because, you know, you get out on the ASCS National Tour in 09 and 010 when I had the awesome opportunity to do that. You know, it's you're just on go street every time you're on the racetrack, because you have to be, because the guy behind you is going to be. You know, everybody out there is very, very good, has good equipment and good resources, and it's just, you know, you got to go. So when you come back home, I guess, you might not even realize how much faster you were driving or how much more aggressive you were or whatever until you get back home, and everything may have slowed down a little bit. But it's not that the guys locally here or in Michigan or wherever ain't no good. It's just that when you go out on that road, there's, you know, 10 or 12 of those guys that are doing it for a living. So they're wanting to make as much money as possible, so it's just no holds barred, and everyone's just got the hammer down. I mean, if there's a hole, they stick it in there. So, you start doing that sort of stuff just because the guy beside you is doing it, you don't even realize you're doing it, so to speak, until you come back home, and then you realize that, wow, you know, I've been doing stuff out there on the road that's a lot more aggressive, or you put yourself in different situations than you do running locally at home. But all in all, it was very good. You know, I mean, I didn't accomplish nowhere near what I would have liked to when we did that, but I still did it. You know, there's a lot of guys that can't say that. You know, I've been fortunate enough to do that. I've traveled, I mean, we raced all over the United States those 2 years, and there's a lot of guys that I know here locally that have never even raced out of the state of Ohio, and I've raced at probably 35 or 40 different racetracks. So that's one of the things that 40 years from now, it will be one of the big memory plugs for me when I sit around in my rocking chair in the backyard.
How memorable was the New Zealand trip?
Very memorable. There's just all sorts of things about that. I was just actually just thinking about that the other day, you know, that that I flew down there not knowing no one. I had no clue who any of the guys were that I was going to go drive this race car for. I didn't even know who was necessarily picking me up at the airport, you know what I mean? I just flew down there completely by myself and had never really even flown before, honestly, until then. You know, you're setting your butt on an airplane for 25 hours, and you get all screwed up. I mean, it's the whole experience is just absolutely mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. And then when you get down there and the very first night in the car, I don't know how many guys even know this. I've told the story a lot of times, but the very first night in the car, I actually ran over a guy on a three-wheeler, you know, and they weren't real impressed with me at all, and they wanted to throw me out of the country because you had to have a license to drive down there, and they wanted to revoke my license and, you know, and all this and that. So it got started off really, really bad. And then the very next night, they blew a motor and didn't race for like 2 weekends. So, yeah, I could go on that for probably hours. But just an absolute and awesome experience, just the whole thing. You know, going to a whole different country. The guy I drove for allowed me to fly back home through Hawaii. I got to stay in Hawaii for 4 or 5 days. And I actually met my mom and dad there since they knew I was coming. They went ahead and took themselves an awesome vacation, and they went to Hawaii about 9 days before I got there. And then I flew into Hawaii, and then I flew home with my mom and dad from Hawaii. So it was just absolutely awesome. You know, I was actually just looking at the pictures the other day. I got some pictures here on my desk, and it's just, you know, another one of those things that I'll never forget ever.
And one thing I always enjoy talking about when I talk about you and your race team is your crew, your core crew guys. A lot of them have been with you from the beginning, and, I don't know.
Exactly.
There's a lot of groups that I see have fun, but you're right near the top as far as a whole group that managed to have a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah, I mean, if you ain't, there's really no reason doing it. I mean, that's what we strived out to do. That's why I said when I first started, I had no intentions of doing some of the stuff I did. I did it for something to do and to have fun and to get everybody together on the weekend so that everyone had something to do collectively together to grow. I mean, we're all family, basically, and we spend time together, whether we're sitting in the backyard or whether we're at the racetrack. So, you know, my main reason for doing it when I first got started is instead of just sitting in the backyard being bums, let's go out and do something. We can still do it all together, but let's go do something. Everyone will have fun, and we did. And that was one of my main missions was just to have fun. But I'll be honest, the last couple of years, me personally, the fun meter has definitely been in decline, you know, due to some bad decisions maybe I made on some different cars or whatever, you know, and some things that didn't work out quite like I thought they were going to. And then we started not to have near as much speed as we had the previous 12, 13 years I raced. So the fun meter started definitely to go in decline. But then, you know, this year, we started having a little bit of fun again. And, you know, especially since we got faster here in the latter half of the year. So, all in all, I mean, the main mission for doing this was to have fun and to just use the talents and abilities that our Heavenly Creator gave to us, hopefully in a manner that brought Him glory. And I believe that we did that. And that was kind of my main mission. And that's still my main mission. Whatever I get into next will be in a manner and purpose of bringing my Father God all the glory, because He's the one that allows us to do everything we do, each and every person. A lot of us might not believe it, might not agree it, but one day everyone will see that, and I'm glad that I'm in that position now where I know that, and that's what I strive to do, is bring all glory to God.
And so if the fun meter was declining at some point, then how much fun was that King's Royal night where you won the 360 race, and you just didn't win it, you dominated it?
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I'll be honest, I was pretty much crying my eyes out when I took the checkered flag and I had around that last lap. And, you know, my crew guys, no one might not have noticed it, but I was definitely crying my eyes out because a lot of people might not know this, but I won my very first race at Eldora, and now I won my very last race at Eldora, and there probably ain't too many people that can say that. So it was very, very important to me. to do that. I mean, not only for myself, but all my sponsors have been with me for all these years, for my crew guys, for my mom and dad, for my wife. So yeah, it was very, very important. And to do it in front of however many 20,000 or 25,000 people that were there, and you know, to get all the phone calls and text messages and emails and Facebook posts and all that stuff that I did, it was very, very. To me, it's humbling. You know, when I get people that come up to me and say stuff, I don't do it and I don't receive it as being getting a big head. It's just very humbling to me that, you know, that many people are aware of what you've done in a race car. And it just, I mean, it's a feel-good, humbling experience. I don't know if that's even proper English. I don't really care. But, I mean, it's just very humbling to me that that many people pay attention to what you do in a race car. And I've just had the opportunity to do it for 15 years. So how can you not smile about it?
Definitely agree with that. Darren Long joining us, talking about his announced retirement over the weekend. And we mentioned the crew and the fun. And one thing that you guys had a really good at are the pranks. Some of the best pranks I've ever seen between you and the J.R. Stewart bunch, I think, were just after each other for almost a whole season. What do you think the most memorable prank during that whole scenario was that you can remember while being on the road?
Probably up at South Buxton, which was honestly back in the day one of my favorite racetracks to go to, because it was always a plowed field. They always had way too much water on it, and the rutter and the rougher they were, the more I liked them. So it was probably South Buxton. We parked right beside them there one night, and I believe the night before we was at Oswego, and I don't remember exactly what they did. I think maybe they had got into my trailer and popped our roof hatch open. And had somehow, we never even noticed, but somehow they rigged toilet paper or something up there, so it was streaming out as we was going down the road on our way to South Buxton. And then when we was at South Buxton, I don't remember who, if it was James or my brother Jody, come up with the idea. It might have even been a friend of mine that helped a lot, too, back in the day, Brent. We put grease on their windshield wipers because it was actually starting to sprinkle. So just before we bailed out of there, someone went over there and put grease on their windshield wipers, and I remember the next Friday night at Linoland, they were laughing, but they weren't real impressed at the time because it didn't for a while. They said they had to pull over, wipe all the grease off the windshield wipers, get the grease off the windshield out there on the old 401 in Canada. So that's probably the best one because I know if they was listening right now, they'd be laughing their butts off about it.
I remember that. That was that's what I thought you might be going after, but I didn't want to say for sure. And I remember that very well, too. Since you announced your retirement, have you been surprised at the reaction of people and the outpouring of people telling you kind of thank you and appreciating what you did?
Yeah, very much so. Same deal. It's kind of like everyone that was giving me feedback or texting me or whatever after we won there at Eldora, because everyone knew we'd been struggling for a while, and we went down there and dominated like we have always been capable of doing. We just haven't been getting it done the last year and a half or so. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, just all the remarks on my Facebook page, text, some email. I mean, there's been comments on my mom's Facebook page, my wife's Facebook page. So, yeah, it's just... once again, that just goes back to the whole, you know, like hopefully the whole reason behind why I did what I did. Hopefully that everyone saw that in my whole race team, that we did it with the purpose of having fun, but also to, you know, to accomplish things. I just didn't go out to have fun just to do it. You know, I went out to have fun, but with the mission of accomplishing things, of achieving success, you know, through hard work, through dedication, commitment, through, you know, just everything that goes into it, and through some of the comments I've gotten. You know, that's what everyone saw. They appreciate, you know, the fact that we put in the years that we did and everything that we gave to the sport and put our whole heart into it. We gave 110%, you know, and just how many people was going to miss you, and just, you know, people that said thank you for just, you know, not being afraid to get on the gas and run the fence and, you know, just all those comments. It's just, you know, it's very, very gratifying. And that's why it's so easy where I'm standing at right now to just walk away and smile, because I know, you know, those people, that stuff's all going to be forgotten. I mean, 4 years from now, 2 years from now, maybe 4 months from now, everyone's going to forget all about that stuff. I'll probably start to forget a lot of it. But at the same time, when people sat down, myself included, 5 years from now, people are still going to remember stuff that my race team, Darren Long Motorsports, that I had the awesome opportunity to start back in 1999. There'll be people that will still talk about it. And hopefully they don't just talk about what the race car did, but what the guys on my team did. That's the most important thing to me, and I think they will. And I'm very, very happy about that.
So what is the plan for the future? Is Darren Long going to go, like, basically just put his feet up on the porch and relax? Or are you maybe going to stay involved working on the cars or just being out at the racetrack? Or are you going to go to some beach somewhere and just hang out?
You know, from the racing standpoint, I ain't real sure what I'll do. I mean, I'll still go to the races, I'm sure, but exactly what role I might play, if any, I'm not real sure about yet. To be quite honest, at this point, I'm just, I'm already relieved, honestly, that I don't have to go race no more. You know what I mean? It got to the point where it felt like I had to go race. So I'm already looking forward to next year when, you know, if I want to go to the race and watch, I can, but if I don't, I don't have to. I don't have to be there. So that's a big plus already. But as far as what lies ahead and what I might do, I don't know. But I just put it this way. Whenever I get into something, I give 110%. So whatever it's going to be, we'll have my full focus, my full commitment, my full attention, and I'll give my every all into it. And right now the plan is just to farm. You know, I plan on, you know, focus on the family farm, and I still have a vision of growing the family farm. I mean, it's tough right now, but I ain't giving up on it because it's not completely in my hands. It's in God's hands, and I believe that the farm's going to grow, and that's where I'm going to put my focus and attention. So whatever I get into, I will give my all, and because that's just kind of how I'm wired. So, and that's why I'm excited, because I know how much I gave over the last 15 years, and I've been fortunate enough to have a good time and experience a lot of stuff. So that's why I'm so excited about the next 15 years or 40 years or however many more years God's going to grace me to live on this earth.
Now, I know I don't want to put you in a position to thank everybody, because when you do that, you're bound to forget somebody. But I'm sure
you have
a few people you do definitely want to thank.
Yeah, I got to thank my mom and dad. I got to thank my brother Jody and James. You know, Jody and James were with me from 1999 until now. I mean, they spent a ton of hours out here in my rec shop. So without them guys, you know, from 99 until now, there's been a lot of times we never went to the racetrack the next night or the next weekend because of tore up race cars that they put back together. I got to thank my wife, you know, for the last, I remember when I got married. Hope she ain't listening. You know, I got to thank her, for sticking with me and allowing me to continue to do what I've done since we've gotten married. You know, because she was just the biggest supporter and jumped right in there and was just excited about it as I was, and that was very important to me. And then, I thank Thompson Construction, who's been a sponsor of mine since 1999. Neidert's Mowers, I think there was only one year here that they didn't sponsor me. And ML Tech Services, which is another local guy here. He's only not been involved for, like, the last 2 years. And then guys like Tim Engler at Engler Machine and Tool has been very, very good to Darren Long Motorsports. You know, he's one of the most awesome guys, because he's one of the very few people, honestly, in the racing business that when he says something that he's going to do, he does it. And it doesn't matter really necessarily what it cost him. It doesn't matter what he's got to do. And I really appreciate that, because that's kind of what I strive to do. Whenever Darren says he's going to do something, I usually do it too. So Tim will be a good friend of mine till the day I die. I mean, I've already talked to him like 3 or 4 times this week. And then I got to thank Joe Gertie. You know, he gave me an awesome opportunity in 2009 to drive his car. And that was just an awesome experience getting to know not only him, but just everybody at his race shop over there, motor shop. So I appreciate that. And then there's like Glenn Sander at Sander Engineering. There's, Dave at KSE. You know, the guys at Maxim back in the day, which have been Brad Ellsworth, and now it's Dan. Super Shocks, Integra Shocks, Brad Bennett at Momentum Racing Suspensions. Now, you know, Eric Slade at SST Shocks has been on board with us this year. So, yeah, there's probably other guys I'm missing, but those definitely are some of the core people. Well, then I guess I should go all the way back, too. I never got started back in 99 if it wasn't for Yoder's Mashed Potatoes and Don, Ron and Nancy Clousing, and Reno's Pizza and all those folks. You know, without them being on board for the first 8 years I raced, which that was a very, very awesome sponsor. You know, that was the key to us getting to do what we did, was Yoder's Mashed Potatoes deal. And, they were as excited about it those 8 years as I was. And so that was probably the key thing right there too, was just them. And, so I don't know if there's anybody else, but if there is, I thank you. If I'm forgetting you.
And of course, there's the race fans and everyone else too that helped you during the years too.
Exactly. Yeah, all the fans. You know, that's probably, I guess, you know, I mean, one of my weak points, I guess, is not even really paying attention to that sort of stuff, but it's pretty obvious now that, you know, I did have a lot of fans, and I truly appreciate that, you know, that's where most of the comments have come from people I don't even know. You know, I have no clue who these people are, but, you know, and the fans, from my standpoint, most of the fans are probably as passionate or more passionate about the sport than the actual guys that participate in it, because most of the fans that are passionate, they know more about the sport than I do. You know, I go do my thing. I don't really pay attention to what the other race teams are doing or whatever, because there's enough problems with your own race team. I'm not too worried about everybody else's. But the fans pay attention to what everybody's doing, and they know what everybody's doing. It's kind of mind-blowing when you talk to the ones that are very, very passionate about their sport, which I had the opportunity to run into out in Pella, Iowa, just about a month and a half ago, the motel we stayed at, which is kind of wild, just, you know, very ironic. But the receptionist at the motel, her husband is, believe it or not, was just a, I wouldn't go as far as say rabid, but he was just a huge Darren Long fan. And it just kind of blew my mind that there's a person out in Pella, Iowa that follows everything I do all the way back here in Iowa or in Ohio most of the time. You know, that was another one of those deals that was just very humbling to me, that there's a guy in Pella, Iowa that, you know, that just always follows what the green and white number 7 car did. And it makes you feel good. But at the same time, you know, it's just like, I don't know, it's just hard to explain those sort of things when you run into those experiences like that, and that's something else I'll never forget the rest of my life.
Well, Darren, I can tell you that it's been a pleasure working with you during your entire career, because you pretty much got started in this deal when we were kind of starting to gain some momentum, and you guys always carried yourself very well, and it was always a pleasure working with you, and I hope you're not too much of a stranger in the future, because I'd hate not to see you at the racetrack.
No, you'll see me around. I mean, I ain't going to say I'm going to be there every weekend, but there'll be some races I'll go to, and there'll be some races I can go to now, and I can just sit in the stands and relax instead of worrying about what my race car does and whether or not I stick it in the fence or not, and whether or not the guy beside me holds his, you know, it's going to be a lot different for me, but I can already tell you it's going to be a lot more enjoyable for me to go to the races now, and I might even get the opportunity to go to some of the other big races that I've never been able to in the last 15 years because I'm racing myself. So very much looking forward to it. And I just thank you for having me on here tonight. And I just, once again, want to thank everybody in the race world for their support of all racers. And I just look forward to see what racing does over the next 15 years for everybody and what God has in store for me. And I just thank you once again.
Well, good luck with the farm. Best of luck with the family and everything. And look forward to seeing you again soon, Darren. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, TJ.
All right. That's Darren Long. And, you know, it's kind of bittersweet for me because Darren's one of the guys we saw him, as the website. You know, I've been involved in the sport my entire life, but the website really caught momentum about the same time Darren's career started. So we've, just by geography, have raced together a lot. I couldn't even put a number on it. And they're through a number of states, a number of places, different countries, even going to Canada. And crazy stories and a lot of fun. And every time I needed something from Darren or his crew or we needed information, they were always very forthcoming, enjoyable to be around, and epitome of classy. I never had any problems with them at all, even working for different series and such. Never had a problem with those guys. They're always good to work with. So I think that's a great way to close out a great show, and got a lot of neat things coming up. We're going to do our first podcast later this week, and look for Tuesday or Wednesday, a podcast with Dave Darwin to talk about the Kokomo Sprint Car Smackdown. So that'll be the first edition of our podcast later in the week. But that's it for the live show. We'll do it again next Monday night at 8 o'clock. Talk with newsmakers in the open wheel world. On behalf of everyone here at the Pro Studios, thank you and good night.